In a Paris cafe, not far from the Charlie Hebdo offices, a young woman in hijab serves coffee to patrons, reading headlines about Marine Le Pen's latest anti-immigration speech. This everyday scene captures the tension at the heart of modern democracies, where the greatest threat comes not from immigrants themselves, but from the fear-driven backlash against them. Go Back to Where You Came From reveals how this backlash threatens to destroy the very values Western societies claim to defend. When 15-year-old Jewish refugee Herschel Greenspan assassinated a German diplomat in 1938, Nazi propagandists immediately weaponized the incident, leading to Kristallnacht. While today's anti-Muslim sentiment hasn't reached such extremes, the rhetoric labeling minorities as scum carries troubling historical echoes. By attacking judges, stripping constitutional protections, and targeting minorities, democracies effectively self-destruct from within, a process we're witnessing in real time across the Western world. The Dutch colonial departure from Indonesia in 1949 established a pattern repeated across Europe. They relocated Moluccan allies to former Nazi transit camps with empty promises of return. By the 1960s, labor shortages prompted the Netherlands, Germany, and France to import guest workers from Turkey and Morocco, initially supported by the free market right. No one expected these temporary workers would settle permanently. European nations faced a dilemma: grant equal rights or maintain citizenship systems based on blood descent, with post-Hitler Europe finding race-based exclusion untenable. By the 1980s, the Dutch welfare state strained as newcomers claimed benefits at triple the rate of natives. The country struggled with cultural differences, while the political left shifted from demanding equality to embracing identity politics. For immigrants like Ahmed Marcouch, arriving from rural Morocco meant living in cramped quarters and translating for his undereducated father. Though he eventually became a Labour Party MP, he witnessed many former Labour voters, particularly those who had fled changing neighborhoods, shift to far-right parties. In 1992, Somali refugee Ayan Hirsi Ali spent her entire Dutch assistance check on a carpet, a decision that bewildered Dutch friends but made sense to someone unfamiliar with budgeting. 8 years later, Dutch intellectual Paul Scheffer published The Multicultural Drama, arguing that subsidized isolation undermined immigrants' self-sufficiency. This criticism from within the left created space for Pim Fortuyn, who opposed Muslim immigration while championing progressive values. After Fortuyn's 2002 assassination and filmmaker Theo van Gogh's murder by a Dutch-Moroccan extremist, Dutch society polarized. Progressives felt their liberal values were threatened by orthodox religious practices. The government tried applying pillarization, treating religious groups as separate societal pillars, which had worked for Catholics but failed with Muslim immigrants who lacked established community leaders. Citizenship expectations shifted from formal, having a passport, to moral, adopting Dutch values, with immigrants scrutinized for cultural conformity, while native Dutch with conservative religious views faced no such requirements. Isn't it strange how we demand cultural adaptation from some groups while allowing others to maintain their traditions unquestioned? After 9/11, religious observance became politically charged. Dutch teens embraced liberal behaviors while Muslim youth maintained conservative practices, creating tensions that populist politicians exploited. In Denmark, the Danish People's Party, DPP, positioned itself as defender of a welfare state exclusively for native Danes, drawing working-class votes from Social Democrats, especially in areas with growing immigrant populations. Social Democratic mayors warned that immigration threatened both communities and their party's electoral base. Mayor Thomas Gildal Petersen argues immigration control is necessary to preserve the welfare state. The DPP has dominated immigration debates by wielding an instrument the left lacks: fear. Rather than dismantling the welfare state, the DPP embraced welfare chauvinism, protecting generous benefits for natives while excluding immigrants. DPP leader Storin Aspirsen notes welfare cuts remain unpopular as the cradle-to-grave system is holy to most Danes. Meanwhile, the system fails to recognize refugees' unique strengths and determination, treating them like long-term unemployed natives rather than people driven to start anew. In 2005, Denmark's largest newspaper published cartoons depicting the prophet Muhammad, igniting global controversy. Culture editor Fleming Rose, who commissioned them, was influenced by witnessing Soviet censorship. He saw parallels between political Islam and Soviet totalitarianism, arguing that perpetrators were transformed into victims, victims into perpetrators, shifting tolerance from listeners to speakers. The controversy turned violent. Cartoonist Kurt Westergaard, who drew Muhammad with a bomb in his turban, survived an axe attack by hiding in a reinforced bathroom while his 5-year-old granddaughter was present. Since 2007, he and his wife lived under constant security threats. This controversy accelerated Denmark's rightward political shift. Many Danes began considering the Danish People's Party after seeing embassies burning and compatriots threatened. The DPP's warnings about Muslim extremism suddenly seemed prescient. Former intelligence chief Jakob Sharp notes that effective counterterrorism requires community engagement. When communities feel marginalized, they're less likely to help identify extremists. Xenophobia transcends stereotypes. It emerges wherever economic anxiety meets the need for scapegoats. South Africa demonstrates this with black citizens mobilizing against fellow Africans from neighboring countries, mirroring European anti-immigrant sentiment, but receiving less attention because all parties involved are black. South African blacks' grievances parallel those of working-class Europeans. Like British East Enders who felt post-war gains taken by immigrants, black South Africans who gained freedom after apartheid faced competition from better-educated foreigners willing to work for less. Mary Lou embodies this contradiction, a lesbian former young communist who volunteers with brown children yet campaigns against foreigners, declaring citizens slaves of this democracy, not recipients. Immigrants face brutal violence with minimal protection. Baron Mukeba survived an axe attack but received no justice as the police didn't even try. Immigrants have created defensive enclaves like Yeovil and Johannesburg, now filled with Congolese and Ethiopian restaurants, a stronghold where xenophobic gangs fear to enter. This pattern repeats globally. When economic anxiety meets demographic change, fear creates fertile ground for demagogues promising simple solutions to complex problems. Liberal democracies stand at a crossroads. Philosopher Ernst Cassirer warned that political myths, carefully crafted narratives of collective destiny, can transform democracies into authoritarian states with frightening speed. During social collapse, rational societies become vulnerable as frustrations enable strong leaders to emerge, declaring social bonds, law, justice, and constitutions to be without value. Nationalism remains a powerful force that progressives ignore at their peril, representing what Isaiah Berlin called the inflamed desire of the insufficiently regarded to count for something. Dismissing national sentiment as backward is dangerous. Even cosmopolitan elites feel nostalgia for home. Those lacking education and mobility often resent those with options and compensate by strongly identifying with place. The greatest challenge facing democracies isn't immigration itself, but our response to it. The solution isn't closing borders or demonizing newcomers, nor ignoring legitimate concerns about integration. We must find a middle path that acknowledges anxieties while maintaining our commitment to human dignity. Our shared future depends not on walls, but on building bridges of understanding across divides. Will we choose fear or hope? This answer will determine both the fate of immigrants and the soul of democracy itself.